Ornette Coleman was an American icon and iconoclast. The saxophonist and composer liberated jazz from conventional harmony, structure, and expectation. He died this morning of cardiac arrest in a New York hospital. He was 85 years old. We're going to remember the self-taught musician who was born poor in Fort Worth, Texas in 1930 and became an innovator. Coleman won the Pulitzer Prize, two Guggenheims, a MacArthur, honorary doctorates, and a National Endowment for the Arts Jazz Master Honor. Howard Bandel says he earned them all.
Ornette Coleman played his alto saxophone the way someone whistles to themselves, walking down the street, unconcerned with rules about how a song is supposed to go. Coleman told NPR in 1997 that he believed in the unfettered, imaginative, original, expressive powers of melody.
It allows every musician to participate in any form of musical environment without them changing their own personality or their own tone or their way of phrasing.
And he put that belief into practice when he could. Coleman was raised by his single mother and sister. He learned music on his own and left home as a teenager to tour the Deep South with a minstrel show. On the road, he faced rejection and even assault for his unorthodox freestyle built on Texas blues. He wound up in Los Angeles working as an elevator operator and trying to get a hearing in jam sessions. He finally made his first recording as a leader in 1958. Some praised Coleman for returning jazz to the kind of collective improvisation its earliest players used. Others heard only cacophony. New York Times writer John Perales explained Coleman's innovations to NPR in 1985.
In jazz before Ornette Coleman, people would devise solos that were designed to fit on top of the chords of a certain tune. Ornette came along and said, "We don't have to do it that way. We can take an improvisation that tells its own kind of story," and he basically showed people a new kind of freedom. He broke them out of the maze of harmony.
Coleman himself described his system as sound grammar or harmelotics.
It's the scientific form of sound based upon the human emotion of expression. That's basically what it is and what it does.
Coleman's principal idea that anyone can make music with anyone and they don't have to know much about each other to do it, made him able to retain his cry of the blues even while jamming with the master musicians of Jajouka from the mountains of Morocco. Musicians flocked to Coleman like he was the Pied Piper, and he played with them. Yoko Ono, Jerry Garcia and the Grateful Dead, Laurie Anderson and Lou Reed, not to mention the many jazz musicians who graduated from his bands. Yet Coleman himself was unfailingly modest. He was shy about cameras, and he might be oblique in conversation. It wasn't that his vocabulary was peculiar, but his point of view was unique, coming from all directions, seeming to take in everything, imagistic and fundamental. His musicians understood him, as his longtime bassist Charlie Hayden said in 1997.
It was very easy for me to follow him. It's always been easy for me to follow him because he's very articulate, but in his own language, just the way he is in his music.
In December of 1960, Hayden was part of Coleman's radical experiment in collective improvisation, two quartets playing simultaneously titled Free Jazz. The recording inspired, licensed, or provoked many better established jazz musicians of the 60s, but his experiments didn't stop there.
I never have classified music as being in a different category, so I went and started writing music which consists of violins and stuff like that. I think most people classify you as what you do when they see you perform in the context of drums and things like that. Everybody call that jazz. But when they see a violin or a French horn or something, they call that classical music. And I really believe that any instrument can become the soloist instrument in any kind of context.
This work, Skies of America, was also scorned until 1986 when conductor John Giordano of the Fort Worth Symphony worked closely with Coleman on a revision. Performances followed by orchestras in Europe and by the New York Philharmonic. Ornette Coleman liked to tell people,
I consider myself a composer that performs.
Whenever I would hear a band with guitars and bass, the melodic line sounded so full, it sounded like a full orchestra. So I said, well, if I could expand their melodic writing, I would be able to express more music.
In the mid-1970s, Coleman reinvented himself again, forming an electric band that often included his son, DiNardo. In 2008, the drummer told me that his father's philosophy suffuses his art, is part of his band's rehearsals, and comes to fruition in performance.
I think it's beyond just scale, key, all that. You know, everything he's talking about is what he always talks about with us as well. And so we're bringing everything. The performance is everything.
It was Ornette Coleman's life to express feeling freely and directly in music, and also to ask the big, confounding questions.
Do you think music has life?
Ornette Coleman's fans answer in the affirmative. For NPR News, I'm Howard Mandel in New York.